It's Wednesday. It's Mark Pyers. And it's Real Talk.
I was walking down the road today, looking for another way
to ease my mind
and help my living.
It's Real Talk. It's the Daily Show, Mark Pyers Real Talk. It's the Daily Variety Show, Mark Pyers Real Talk. And we're here on day 338 in a row. So before we get started, go over to YouTube, subscribe, ding the bell. You want to be informed, alerted every time I go live, because this is a show. It turns into something. And I got some plan for you just like I always do. Hey, what's going on, everybody over on Instagram? I appreciate you. Head over to YouTube, subscribe and ding the bell. That's where the show looks best, sounds best. And we're going to get into some things for you today. First of all, if you want results in life, put in the work. That's what you got to do. You got to put in the work. And I'm doing it over and over and over again. And I just wanted to share my latest. Today, I actually was down in Newark, New Jersey, and I was doing a demonstration for the Beat Seat. And this was really something. I had an opportunity today to demonstrate the Beat Seat to a classroom of special needs individuals. And I realized in the moment that the demonstration is different based on the crowd I'm speaking to. And when I talk to you guys about the Beat Seat, it's about how you could go out and play a show alone if you're a guitar player, and how you can play with your entire body if you're a drummer. But today I found myself discussing the tone, the color within the range of the Beat Seat. And it was a different experience seeing these children looking at this instrument, sitting on it, playing this instrument, trying to figure it out. And the smile I saw on their faces was something. It really was. Now, Lee, the instructor I met with, he actually shot a lot of video, so I may have some video to show you of this. And it was kind of nice. So I sat there in the background with some of them just so they can get comfortable. I played a beat, which is obviously, as you know, not very good. And I laid down a beat as best I could. Where am I seeing this? I'm seeing like, that's just bothering me, guys. I'm sorry. Hold on. Is that better? Yeah, that's better. I just can't stand when I see my backdrop and it's all messy. Anyway, so down in Newark, had an opportunity to sit down, play some Beat Seat for these kids. There's one kid who was really talented. He actually was a multi-instrumentalist. And he was playing the Beat Seat, kicking it, playing the bass. And I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. Seeing the connection. Some of these kids have a hard time communicating. But when they sat down on the Beat Seat, I could see that something, there was a little electric spark. Something took place there. And all I'm left thinking is hopefully they say to themselves, or they say to the teacher next time they get there, where's the Beat Seat? Because look, we're going to demonstrate at every school that we can get an appointment with. The Beat Seat should be at every school in the world, but for now, in the United States of America, it should be in every single school. It should not only be in school for the music classes, it should be in there for every special needs organization in the country, in the world. And today, something we discussed, and I hope this footage comes to light as well, that there are so many different tools to try to connect with individuals that have a hard time with the, if it's sensory disorder or whatever, they have a hard time connecting. So they have all these different tools. They're trying to figure out what works. And I know the Beat Seat could just be another tool to help them connect. It may not be the only tool. It may not be the primary tool. I believe it will be going forward, but right now it just is a tool. So every music therapist out there should at least explore what the Beat Seat is. And today we did that, and I think it went really well, so I'm looking forward to that. But my point is, if you don't go out there and show it to people, if you don't go out there and demonstrate it, if you don't go out there and experience what I did today, which is to sit in front of a group of people who really need the instrument, and figure out how to explain to them how they could benefit from it. That was my job today. And I'll tell you, it was a great experience. It really was. The worst part was the traffic there and back. I don't mind. Because I'm out trying to meet people, trying to build awareness. If I want my instrument to see the light of day, I can't stop for a second. It's just like real talk. Can't stop for a moment, not even to breathe. If you want to succeed, you need to work hard at it. You need to constantly be pushing towards your goals. And let's see. I think I'm live right now, but let me just check. Claire, you rock. Claire liked the video. You're so cool, Claire. So I'm here with you. It's day 338 in a row. Who's on with me over on Insta? I got William, my people, and Meredith. Meredith, head over to YouTube, subscribe, and ding the bell. Need you to do that because that is where the show goes. And we need to get over 1,000 subscribers so I could start doing some of these while I'm out on the road. Right now, I got to come to the studio in order to go live on YouTube. I could obviously go live on Facebook and everything else, but so listen. I just wanted you to be aware, like, if you really are expecting to get something in life, it's not going to happen unless you go out and you work for it, and unless you go out there and you show people you want to, you deserve it. You know, it's not going to be given to you. At a certain point, the people at B will say, I can't look away any longer. I can't turn my head any longer because it's not, it's just getting stronger. It's just going to be a harder thing to deal with once it gets bigger. So let me just try to get in front of it now. But you got to keep pushing until they say that to themselves. Until they have those behind-the-scenes meetings. What are you going to do about this thing? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. We should figure it out. Maybe we should buy it out. Maybe we should do something. But you have to create momentum. And it only happens with hard work. So let's see. What else do we got? I got some pretty cool stuff planned for you guys today. I figured out something with my whole news section here. We're going to try it for the first time today. And let's see how it goes. And I got a lot of other Beat Seat stuff to share with you. A lot of stuff going on the back end. And all of these things take place. I tell you guys, my business manager, my business and operations manager is Lara, my wife. And she's phenomenal at this. She gets me into doors. And that's all I ask. I told you guys, in life, I just want to get in the door. I don't want someone giving me an opportunity to say, oh, I'll give you something. Like, I mean, those are great, but honestly, I just want to get in the door. I just want to have a chance to sit down and have a face-to-face conversation with somebody. It may not end with me getting a listing or with me getting a new client, but it will be an interaction, and I'm open to that. I'm open to that. That's why I'm really struggling to get people to remember. It's hard to get people to remember that, listen, I am doing this, but I'm a real estate agent. During the day, the way I survive in this world is by selling real estate. So if you're out there and you know anybody in New York or Connecticut that ever needs to buy or sell, just shoot me a note. In fact, anywhere in the world, someone needs to buy or sell real estate, you'd be surprised, but I can help you. You'd be like, how can I help you, Mark? Well, let me tell you very quickly how. We have a large referral network. And when you're going into, say, like, I don't know, St. Petersburg, Florida to look for houses, you have to go walk into an office or you have to call a listing agent directly. You don't know who you're going to deal with. You're just looking at a property and you're dealing with whoever's on the other end of the line. How are you going to do your research? You're going to go online and start researching agents to find the right agent? Well, you could do that. I always suggest do that. Get two or three names, people you want to interview, and let me find a fourth, a third or a fourth for you. Because if I can find someone better, then go with them. If not, go with whoever you chose. But here's what I do. Here's the difference between what you're doing and what I'm doing. You buy a piece of real estate every 7 to 10 years. I sell it every day of my life. When I am calling down to St. Petersburg, Florida to speak to the manager of an office to find out what agent I'd like to get for my client, there are a set of questions I'm asking that you wouldn't even think of asking because you don't do this every single day. It's the same thing as if I was going to ask questions about finance. I wouldn't know what questions to ask either. I'd ask a certain set of questions, but they wouldn't be the right questions. So I suggest you ask your questions. Let me call an agent. Let me ask my questions. Have them be interviewed with you. And whoever you like, you use. Here's the beautiful thing about it. I'm offering to do this for you for nothing. There's no charge. Just tell me, hey, Mark, look, I'm thinking about moving to Chicago. What do you got? Do you got anybody in Chicago who could do a better job than who I'm going to find? I'd love to interview one more person. Let me do the work. Let me call to the Berkshire Hathaway office in downtown Chicago, wherever you're looking. Glen Ellen. And I will find you me on the other end of that line. I'm going to search for someone who's got a passion within them, someone who's going to give it to their clients the way they need to hear it, not the way they want to hear it. And I know that's one of my sayings, but I really should make a quote out of that because it's so true. Tell people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And, you know, I've been saying that since day one on this show. And I'm starting to see some of my quotes get out there and people are starting to regurgitate them in their own way, which is nice. Because these things need to be said. And a lot of times I'm finding that I get the message and I hear it over and I'm like, oh my goodness. Like today I dropped the one about not changing just because somebody else needs changing. That's from 4 or 5 months ago, guys. I wrote that like 4 or 5 months ago. Don't change you just because somebody else needs changing. That's real. You are beautiful the way you are. Don't start second guessing yourself. You lose every time. That's another one of my quotes. I should just do a real talk of quotes one day where I'm just saying every quote I've ever written, like as the real talk. As just one, I'm just going to look at them and just make it one show. When someone says that you can't smile and thank them for the fuel, I dare you to say I can't. I look forward to disappointing you. How about this one? There's one of my favorite ones that I've written, and I just think it's great. Helping people pays a different type of currency. That's a good one right there, guys. We got some people over here. Taj. And we got come on us. I can't read on the sideways over here. William and Meredith. You guys are awesome. Listen, I really want you guys to get the best experience possible over on Insta. So you have to head over to YouTube. By the way, here's something for you YouTubers that you know, but the people on Instagram don't even understand this right now. We get cut off in an hour on Instagram, and the last 2 days I've done an hour and 23 minutes, an hour and 30 minutes. So there's another 23 plus minutes you guys missed on Instagram because you didn't go over to YouTube and subscribe and ding the bell. So I'm just asking you to do that because I think you're going to really enjoy that other 23 minutes. I have to say it was fire. That 23 minutes last night was fire. I didn't expect to go on anymore, and we just kept going. And then my friend Phil was on, and he was, look, if somebody stays on and I'm about to go off the air, I just stay on the air. So we're on for an hour and 23 minutes because I'm here to be, I just want people to connect. So when I see somebody on with me, and this is what I fear. Like when I happen to actually look one day and see 30 or 50 or 100 or 1,000, hopefully, when we see that many people on at once, I just don't know if I'll be able to go off the air. I think I'm just going to stay on. Because if there's somebody there who's connecting to what I'm saying and what I'm doing, this is what my purpose is in life. It's to be the light for somebody else to grab off of. You know, if you could grab a bit of energy to take into your day, I've successfully done my job. That's it. I come out here with no plan intentionally. I don't fear it. It's funny, I have this little butterfly that just pops into my belly like, you know, like 30 seconds before I go on, I'm like, I'm going to do this again, huh? And I'll be like, okay, just go. And this is my philosophy with everything in life. Just go. Don't fear what happens because it's all an experience. It's all an experience. And if you don't experience things like this in life, you're not living. I'm living like so much, guys. And it's funny, I'm not doing it in the ways I was doing it when I was in my 20s. I was living in different ways. I was out experiencing being a young man and dating and all these weird things. But now it's like I'm experiencing life the way it's meant to be experienced. I always said it this way. When you find your spouse, when you find that person who connects you to the rest of the world, everything else begins. Because you no longer are thinking about that piece of your life that is so huge. That's the biggest question mark in your life. Who's going to spend the rest of my time with me? Who am I going to find that wants to spend their days with me? Like, this is a question we all have just bouncing around our head for years until we find that person. And when we do find that person, it's electric. Because what happens is it allows you to free up space in that hard drive, that brain of yours. You free up all the space and you see an opportunity that maybe you couldn't when you were always focused on who am I going to date or who's my wife. Is that my wife? No, it didn't work with her. I'll tell you, that's the worst part about being a single person and your focus being that you want to be married or you want to be a family man. That is a very difficult thing because everyone could be the one. And what does that do? It takes you away from the focus, the goal. the big picture. And I have to tell you, when I was single, that was when I was pursuing music. That was when I was out performing. I was traveling the country. I was writing songs, MTV music artist. But I did not push. I did not push. If I pushed like I am with Real Talk, it would have been a wrap. There's no way I would have failed. Because the music was strong. My passion has never been any different. I just did not work hard at it, guys. I did not push. And if you don't, you will always fail. And I proved that to myself. I failed at music, and I didn't, and I did. I didn't, and I did. I should have had more than one record deal on the table is the bottom line. But I didn't push. I didn't work at it. I didn't go down to New York City and sit on a street corner with my guitar right over by whatever. I should have been sitting by Capitol Records with my guitar. I didn't have a Beatsy, but sitting there singing and playing, hoping some record exec walks by. I never did that. I never had the heart to go there and do that. I believed, like a lot of people out there, that, oh, I'll just get it. I have some talent, a little bit of talent, and maybe that will go somewhere. No, that does not do anything for you. It's talent plus time plus effort equals results. I had some talent, and I didn't put the time in. I didn't put the effort in. I just assumed that pieces would come together. Ooh, talent will get me everything else. No. Talent, there's so many people with talent. So many people have a talent within them that the world will never see. You have to figure out how that talent is utilized in today's society. We're constantly adapting, constantly changing. How does your talent fit into today's living? That's what you have to figure out. Don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Think about what you can do. This is an old thing. It's a real estate thing, essentially. But we find a lot of agents think about what everybody else is doing. Ooh, how did that person get that business? And how does that person have this business? And I think that's a very interesting thing because you're doing nothing, but you're building like this maze of negativity within your own mind by thinking about other people. You cannot change your own path if you're thinking about other people's paths. Let them take their road. Your road is different. Here's something I want to share with you that I think is very interesting. We've talked about this before. We're always coming to a crossroads. Constantly. Crossroad after crossroad, right? I believe there is no wrong path. You've never taken one wrong path. You've taken your path. It's your path. Like it or not, you're meant to take that path. Here's a philosophy I had. If we could stand back with a magnifying glass and just look at each other for, say, a year, okay? I'm just standing here being looked at for a year. I'm almost there, 338 days. You could go back over this entire year, watch this program, and you'd be like, I pretty much know how Mark would handle a situation at this point going forward. If something like X comes up, I think Mark would handle this negatively. I think if X came up, Mark would probably handle this positively because I know what kind of reaction Mark has to typical response or typical situations, right? So this is my problem with us having like, when they say, oh, we're not determined, our paths aren't determined. I believe they are because we are born to be a specific type of person. We're either born to be a negative or a positive. So we'll handle situations the same way. Some people handle a situation by shutting it down. They're born to be that guy. And then there are people like me that always want to bring life and light into a situation. There's nothing that makes me happier than seeing someone smile. We're going to try that again today. It looks like I have a few people on. So this is something we tried the other day, and it's a challenge. This is a new challenge. We're going to do this every day. Okay, and I don't know if anybody's going to get far enough in to see this except for you guys on Insta and you over here, whoever's on with either Facebook or YouTube. I hope you guys send me some chat messages so I know if you're on, by the way. But here's my new thing, okay? I dare you to not smile. I want you to not smile. That is the challenge, okay? And it's very simple. Just keep your face like this. Don't smile no matter what, okay? You cannot smile. That is the challenge. If you smile, you lose, okay? Don't smile. I said don't smile. Every time I do this, you smile. Don't. But a smile has an energetic value. That costs zero to me. It costs zero to the currency holder. So I'm going to keep smiling at you, and I want you to react the same way every time. I want you to smile back at the screen as if I can see it. Because that's what we're meant to do in life, is to react, to send each other messages without even saying words. A smile. A smile could lead you to the light, especially with a day of darkness. Nothing is better than when I'm feeling bad, I walk past someone and they smile. Stranger, I don't even know you, lady. I don't even know you and you smile. That's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. That is life. Oh, thanks, buddy. Phil said he thinks I'm doing pretty good over here. This is what I love to do, Phil. I really do. I don't need a script. I just let my emotions carry me. That's what I think it comes down to, is when you're comfortable enough in your own skin, and I truly believe it's when you know what you're meant to do, when you know what you're meant to be here to do, you start stepping up. You start stepping up and doing it. That's what it comes down to. You know, this is why I understand my place. And I said this a few weeks ago, Phil. If unscripted didn't work for me, like if I was sitting here fumbling, trying to figure out what to say next and where I'm supposed to go with the show, you better believe I would be sitting here with content everywhere. Oh, I got this story and I got that story and I can't wait to say that line. I don't think about any of it. I just want to come out here and let the truth of reality happen. You know, when reality TV started, I think the intention was something like this. It's for people to come out there and show their true purpose. And then it very quickly became this materialistic, social, dynamic type of thing. Ooh, look, let's put them all in the same house together. Ooh, that's so exciting. Ooh, no, how about get somebody out there and say, look, I want you to go out there without a script and just talk. Just let the spirit of the universe come through you and see what happens. That's the show. Oh, okay, he was terrible. Let's bring on the next guy. Let's just keep it going. You know, and like that could be a show. You know, what can you bring to the table? Maybe we could call it like Mr. Inspiration or you know, Inspiration 5000. I'm creating TV shows right now, guys. I don't know. I just think we need more. Oh, jazz is on. I love it. So yeah, I think we just need more. We need more people to step up and do this, to just come out and be positive. And you know what's funny? I have some people who don't like positivity. Like I had somebody the other day said, ooh, you do a positivity motivation show? I don't know if I should tune in. I'm like, why? Like, you don't need it? You don't need any positivity in your life? Everybody needs positivity. It's something that we require. There's a saying that if you put five people that feel a certain way around you, you become the sixth. If you put five people that are pushing out great feelings, positivity, you're going to feel the same way. You're going to offer the same thing to the next person. Remember that. Your circle should be tight, and it should be people that respect you, that love you, and want you to thrive in this life. That is something we're not seeing enough of. I see a lot of jealousy. I see a lot of people that just are hurling negativity at each other, and they're trying to bring each other down. The networks, they just want to bring each other down. They want to bring down political opponents. They want to just make us all feel like we need them. We don't need them, guys. I shut them off 338 days ago. I haven't watched a political show in 338 days. I'll walk by sometimes, and I'll see my wife has one on, and I'm like, I got to get the heck out of here. Thank goodness I'm going to do a real talk show, because I don't need to sit there and watch that negatube. That negatube is killing my spirit of life. And I only get this day. I don't get it back. I don't get this minute back, this hour back, this year back. I've got to tell you, this is the most productive year I've ever had in my life. I've never done more in my life than I've done this year. For 338 days, I've been here with you. We've done roughly an hour to an hour, hour and a half, maybe half hour to an hour and a half. And at the beginning, it was short. But now this is just the natural progression of this show. What started as a vlog became a talk and variety show. And this is where it's going from here on. I just wanted to give you a preview of what you're going to expect going forward. Going forward, we're going to have guests on. We're going to have the three-camera shoot, obviously. You're going to have guests coming in. We're going to be doing really cool stuff with the Beat Seat. I'm thinking about having in-guest musicians, so we do duo stuff. Two beat seats, two guitars, and I just invite musicians here each week, and I interview them. We talk about music, we talk about whatever, and then we play a song together on beat seats. What do you guys think about that? Each week, and maybe eventually we actually get people in here like that are like, you know, get like an Ed Sheeran in or something, like a John Mayer comes in to play beat seat with me. How about that? That'd be pretty sweet. I'm not holding my breath for any of that, guys. What I am doing, though, is showing up. I'm showing up. I'll tell you what, there will be a day where John Mayer says, oh, yeah, Mark Pyers, yeah, I know about that show. Because I won't stop until everybody on the planet knows about Real Talk. And like I said, you could either tune in or not, but I'll be here creating awareness, building just a light and love for you. That's it. We should be feeling love for each other. Like crazy love, right? Oh, man. Yeah, I'm thinking that's what it's got to be. And I'll tell you something pretty cool. So today I went down, I did this demonstration, and it was in Newark, New Jersey, and the school is John F. Kennedy High School. And 15 to 16 special needs individuals that play percussion instruments and guitar, bass, et cetera. And I had a chance to show them the beat seat. And it was the coolest thing in the world. The principal walks in, starts filming me. I was playing Johnny Cash Folsom Blues for them just to do a song to show them what it's like with a guitar in my hand. And she starts filming. She's dancing. And she's like, this is, can you give me a demonstration? So I give her demonstration. Now, I don't know if I could do this, but she goes, can you come in on Friday? Because I forget who she said from the Lords of the Underground is coming in to do a book read on Friday. And she said, maybe you could play a beat on the beat seat and he can, you know, freestyle over it. And I was like, yeah. So I don't know if I can make Friday work. But the idea that the principal walks in, sees the instrument and just creatively thinks of an idea for her Friday assembly is pretty special. It tells me that this thing is magical. Really is, guys. It's not only just for me to play, but I think we're going to get into that. Now, usually I go music last, but maybe we should go music and then stories. What do you guys think? I'm thinking we should do that today. We'll do music and then we'll do the news, okay? So, let's see. Unless I push the wrong button here. If I push the wrong button, we're going the other way. We went the other way. All right, we'll go music after this. So, check this out. This is kind of crazy. For 20 years, a Tennessee baby thief kidnapped more than 5,000 children. Well, let me get to the story here. Where'd it go? There it is. You guys have the picture here too, but look, you just gotta see what this lady looks like. Oh, look at me. Are you kidding me? What a horrible human being. For over 20 years, a Tennessee baby thief kidnapped more than 5,000 children from the streets, hospitals, and shanty towns of Memphis. Now, 70 years later, survivors of her house of horrors are confronting the past. For over 20 years, Georgia Tan ran a lucrative child kidnapping and adoption ring. As the executive director of the Tennessee Children's Home Society, Tan got rich by stealing babies from their parents and adopting them out to unsuspecting families. More than 5,000 children were snatched by Tan, and at least 500 children are believed to have died while under her care. Wow. Surviving adoptees from the Children's Home Society spoke with Insider about what they endured and how they found out who they really were. Should I tell you guys the rest of this? Are you into this? It's kind of crazy. Hey, Michael, what's up, buddy? Do you guys want to hear the rest of the story? Phil, what do you think? I think it's a pretty crazy story. I'm actually liking that I figured out how to do this with this, guys, so you can actually see the story with me. I can scroll it. Oh, I'm so happy about that. This is something I've been filming the screen for a while, and now I finally figured this out. So it's like this whole thing is finally coming into full picture here. So I'll tell you the rest of this because I think it's a really disgusting story, and this show's about putting this stuff in the past. This is horrible. No one knows or perhaps cares to remember the exact day that the Tennessee Children's Home Society in Memphis closed. What is known is that 69 years ago, in late November or early December, the place workers later called a house of horrors closed its doors for good. Shutting down the Child's Home Society shutting the home society down may have cast it into obscurity, but by then the home had already permanently changed the lives of more than 5,000 children. The unimaginable horror of the place still reverberates today, not because many of the children were orphaned or abused, but because they were stolen. Stolen children, it's unbelievable. So this actually all came to light because there's an author, Lisa Wingate, who was watching a story on this in the Discovery Channel. And she said, it was called Deadly Women. She said, I wondered if this was all true or if it was sensationalized TV. So she started digging and she's like, I just had to know more. The result was Before We Were Yours, a fictional account of the orphanage told through the eyes of a 12-year-old Rill Foss. It was released in 2017 and the book stayed on top of the bestseller list for over a year. Wow. Wow, people would write or email and say, this book is about my mother, or I think I may have been one of the stolen babies. More than 20 years, Tan ran the Tennessee Children's Home Society, where she and an elaborate network of conspirators kidnapped and abused children and to sell them off to wealthy adopted parents at a steep profit. Man, it's sickening. This is the face of evil right there, guys. Terrible. Terrible. What a horrible human being. So let's move on to a lighter story because I had to start with the worst, okay? Now, this is interesting. Chinese gene edited twins created to be immune to the HIV virus may have unintended mutations. Now, I didn't even realize this happened. We cloned somebody? When did we clone? A human? Two? Twins? The Chinese twin girls, controversially, genetically engineered in 2018 to be immune to HIV. And by the way, they may not be immune to HIV, according to scientists reviewing the research around the project. The embryo alteration resulted in biophysicist He Jiankui's being investigated by Chinese authorities and placed under house arrest over ethics concerns. You think? The guy, first of all, shouldn't be creating people. Okay, that's not us. It's not us. Something's going to go horribly wrong with this. Like, and they're saying Chinese may have unintended mutations. Look, anything we do to try to create life, that's a scary thing. Now, of course, there is a very good chance that some higher species created us in some petri dish millions of years ago. Who knows? You never really know. Because if this is what's going on now, if this is what's going on now, there's a good chance it was going on then. You know, this whole thing I was telling you the other day, that there's a new scientist who's discussing the idea of taking our race off of this planet and finding another habitable planet somewhere in the solar system, because eventually the sun will go, what do they call it? Red giant or whatever, sleeping white dwarf. It's going to explode. It's going to run out of gas and it's going to explode. And then eventually it's just going to swallow us up. We're going to all die. Not just now, but like in very, very, distant future. So he's like, look, we have to think about this now. We got to go and find a place that we could actually get to. And I just feel like that's probably what happened millions of years ago. They're like, look, we got to get this species somewhere else. We don't want to disappear. Let's just throw them all on a ship. And let's send them off into, hey, there's a place. Looks like it's got lots of water. Dropped them off. Dinosaur. That's my movie. If you guys watched a few weeks ago, I just sort of gave you my movie. I had this great movie idea. I was talking about like Star Wars, okay? The whole movie. It's like Star Wars. Pew, 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 pew. You know, all kinds of crazy stuff like that. You ships flying through the air. You got all these different creatures, just like Star Wars. And then they were like, hey, we got to find a place to go because they're gonna blow up our planet. They throw them on a ship. They go and they drop them off at this place that looks pretty cool. And they're like, ooh, this is nice. Oh, we got to run. We got to get away from this animal. And they go into a cave. You see a foot drop. It's a dinosaur foot. Oh, no, it wasn't deep into the future. It's millions of years ago. And we were dropped off here. So that's the movie. Someone's going to do it now. It's the second time I've said it. That's a great idea. So anyway, Chinese gone gene, this should never have happened, guy. You know, don't do this. Don't go and edit twins. It's a little odd. Now let's get to the last story here, and then we'll play some music for you. This one's a great story. I can't wait to tell you this one. So thank you to Cassie on Facebook for sharing the story with me. This is the wrong one. Here we go. A new school in India will prioritize happiness instead of grades. Let's take a look inside. Now look at this. I don't know if you could see all of these buildings here. So it's not just a facility where you should go into it. They have like 12 different buildings where each one is, you know, for something different, mathematics, history. And let me just read you a little about this. Around the world, most secondary schools share a similar design. There are hallways that lead to classrooms, a front and a back entrance, a cafeteria, and a gymnasium. Near Chennai, India, a new boarding school called Riverbend aims to rethink traditional architecture and curriculum in education. Instead of one large central building, the campus will include more than a dozen smaller facilities that are designed to focus on a range of subjects, including math, entrepreneurship, literature, art, meditation, history, and physical education. The goal is to prioritize the middle and high school students, their happiness rather than grades. Riverbend School's lead architect, Danish Kirani, tells Business Insider, construction will start this year and wrap up in 2020. Let's see if there's anything else here. Students will live there on weekdays and travel home on weekends. The school was designed by the New York-based firm Kirani, which specializes in educational spaces. So Kirani's team designed the campus like a village. He says the site will center around a central plaza with classrooms outside it, student faculty housing outside that, and then agricultural land on the outskirts where students can farm. That's pretty cool. When planning Riverbend, the firm looked to the long-running Harvard study that has tracked people over the past eight decades. It suggests that strong relationships contribute to happy life. The campus will include many communal spaces, dubbed chat labs, where students can discuss projects with peers or students or teachers. Let's see. And then I guess you could decide your own curriculum. That's interesting. Very interesting. I mean, it looks really cool. I only got the one photo for you guys on the screen here. But honestly, I think more schools should be thinking this way. I think your students would be more receptive to learning if you have them, you know, happier. I really feel like you're, you know, especially here, the way we just force people to learn things that we're never going to use in life. I just don't understand that. It actually reminds me a lot of when I got my real estate license and the amount of information I had to pack into my brain to take the test. And I have to tell you, 96% of the stuff I had to learn, I've never even heard anybody say. Nobody talks about it. It's all pointless stuff, meets and bounds and stuff you'd never use. Why do they make you learn stuff you're never going to use? Well, because you have to, just in case you need to know. No, stop forcing people to learn things that are useless. It's like the UFC. Do you guys remember when UFC came about? Apparently, and this is something I've heard, that the UFC came along and it actually just, it put a little more clarity out there to which martial arts are like BS martial arts. That's the best way I was told. So one of my friends who was like a martial artist was like, yeah, it kind of let us know which ones are not real martial artists where like there's not no effect to it at all. Because you'd have people that go in there like, yeah, I'm judo or whatever. And they'd go in there against somebody who did something different and they just get squashed. And they'd be like, well, I thought that guy had a thing. And they're like, yeah, but that's not a thing. Like they for years told you that could do something. But when you come along and you have this other art, whether it's jujitsu or whatever, you know, some of these martial arts just are dated, you know, and they just lose their effect. So that's basically it. I think it's about time for a little music. What do you say? So here's my thought. You guys tell me if you agree. So yesterday, I played you a song called Let's Start Slow. Let's Start Slow is a great song. I didn't play it very well. But we played Fur Elise, and that was pretty solid. I think the Fur Elise was actually probably one of the best versions that I've had in a while. And what I thought I'd do for you guys right now, Louise, what's up, buddy? Who else is on here? Alu. I'll say Alu because I can't tell what your whole name is. Thanks for tuning in. So what I thought I'd play for you guys today is a song I wrote many years ago called I Need to Be Alone. And the reason I think this is an important song for us to listen to today is I'm here all alone. And I kind of like that. You know, there are times in your life where you need to be alone. There are times in your life where it's important for you to be by yourself in order to reflect, in order for you to come to an answer. Sometimes the only way you can get that answer is if you search inside. And I wrote this song. I wrote two songs in one evening when I was cheated on when I was 18, 19 years old. And one of them is probably the angriest song I've ever written in my life, probably anybody's ever written in the history of time. It's got a rap in it. It's actually a funny song, but it's angry. And in fact, my wife has always said, if anybody ever hears that song, they're going to think you don't like women. And I always said, no, I just didn't like that woman. And here's the thing. When I used to play clubs, the women would be the ones who wanted to hear it. They'd be like, hey, play Gabrielle. I'd be like, really? You want to hear that? But that's, you know, about the girl who stomped in my heart. They're like, yeah, this guy did it to me too. And I want to hear it. And they'd buy me shots. It was crazy. So basically, I wrote Gabrielle, which we're not going to play. You could seek it out if you choose to. And like I said, I apologize in advance. And I do have no, I'm married to an amazing woman. And in fact, this is probably the only person that I ever was responded to this way that caused me to respond in that manner. And it's insane. The song is insane. It's really, really funny. Oh, I got to tell you now. No, it's I can't. If you really want to see it, you can go see it. But like I said, don't get mad at me. I wrote it when I was 19. And then I wrote this song right afterwards. So I got the anger out. And then I wrote, I need to be alone. And the last line of the song I want to tell you right now so you can listen to it. And then you can listen in on it when I sing it. I need to be alone because I feel like I'm finding myself again. I need to be alone because I feel like I'm finding myself again. The only way you can truly find yourself is when you go into that person. You have to have quiet. You have to be all by yourself. Don't trick yourself to think, ooh, I got to be around as many people as possible. No, opposite. Opposite. You need to feel the pain. You need to go inside. Experience everything that you're meant to experience and come out a stronger person. If you start letting it affect you or you start trying to push it aside, that's when it eats away at you. Just let it envelop you. Be alone. Feel it all. Let it drag you down to the depths of your worst feeling and then come out. You can't come out if you continue to push it off. Oh, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. It does. It does. Let it in. Let it out. That's what I say. Let it in and let it out. So let's play I Need to Be Alone for you. Here we go. All right, let's see what we got here. Can you guys hear me? I think you can hear me, hopefully. I'm just turning up the speaker so I can hear myself a little better. So this is a song I wrote the day I had my heart broken. And I know we've all been there, like I said, so I'm not expecting that I went through something you haven't. But this is a song for all of us, I guess. So I need to be alone. I gotta tune it, guys. When you leave the guitar here in the studio, the fluctuations in temperature, not a good thing. You'll like it much more, trust me. All right, we're good. No
turning back all alone.
Fall guitar. Stay there. Oh, how was that, guys? Was that all right? Little beat seat action. I need to be alone. It's one of my favorite songs. Jeff, what's up, buddy? Thanks for tuning in. So we've been on for 50 minutes. And you guys know my feelings about not doing less than an hour. No, I'm just kidding. We just happen to be doing mostly an hour every day. Because it's a talk show. This isn't a three-minute vlog. It's not a, hey, come on, let's go and have a great day. I'll see you later. We're going to do that over an hour. We're going to keep pushing. Over an hour period of time, I want you to get into it and feel something. So anyway, I am going to probably call it a day. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I'm not sure if anybody saw it. Hopefully you enjoyed it. It looks like at least I'm live. Look, all I could ask for is to be there. The channel is running. The program is running. And right now this is in the way. Hold on. There we go. Let me put that over there because you're looking at. There we go. So everybody on Insta, I really appreciate it. Head over to YouTube, subscribe and ding the bell. Phil, I appreciate you being on YouTube. And Phil's the man. Phil is on there. He's following the show. He's getting the notifications whenever the Real Talk show goes live. We just had a little, I need to be alone on the beat seat. Oh, I got to turn this volume down. That's what's going on. I'm like, why is it getting some feedback for me? It's because I got it like up to 9 over here. When I'm over there, I want to be able to hear it a little better. So I really am looking forward to this idea of doing acoustic sessions here every day, but then we'll have a guest in maybe once a week, once a month, whatever it is, and we'll interview the musician, have a little jam session on beat seats, show them the beat seats, get their impressions of the beat seat live. I think that, to me, would be the ultimate content for the beat seat. Oh, I'm sitting down today with, I don't know, John Mayer. John Mayer's here. Look, he's playing on the beat seat with me. John, what do you think of the beat seat? Oh, my goodness. Greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Yes, I know. Thank you. That's why I play it every day. I love it. It's just a matter of time, guys. Just a matter of time and effort and talent to get to your result. Can't do one. Can't do two. Gotta do three. And actually, last week, 2 weeks ago, when I had the Stage 2 startups in for my interview, Betty Wong said, you actually also need contacts. You need people that know people. So it's not just talent plus effort plus time. It's also plus who you know, which is kind of interesting. I never put that fourth thing in there because I'm saying talent plus effort plus time, because to me, I'll just go every day until whoever that is that's out there that makes the decision says, I cannot do anything any longer. If I continue to wait another day, someone else is going to jump on this. That's the way you got to go about it. That's why I tell you, if you want something, if you want results, go get them. Go make it happen. Who's on with me right now? Joe! If you guys have any questions for me, shoot them my way. Give me some questions here. What do we got? Here's another thing we're going to start doing. Phone-ins. So if somebody wants to get on the phones, maybe they don't want to get on the air. They don't want to be seen visually. That's fine. But if you'd like to be on it, just phone in. We can have a conversation. I think that to me is going to be really cool because I could sit here and just field questions and we could do it all live, you know? And so who's on right now? I see some people on, which I love. You know, that's my thing. I'm not going to go off the air. This is 54 minutes and 9 seconds so far, guys. You missed the beat seat. If you want to hear another song, though, all you have to do is ask. Yes, of course, I should be heading home and eating now. It's 7:30. And no, I did not eat today. I got in the car to drive to Newark, New Jersey for that demonstration of the beat seat. And I got in the car and drove back home, back to the studio. And I don't know. I was just thinking about eating. And then I just said, yeah, I'll just eat when I get home. And now I'm realizing how hungry I am because it's 7:30 and I'm still sitting here. So anyway, did we hit all our stories? We did. We got all the stories in. I think this is a pretty cool thing, though. Don't you guys agree that this is a pretty cool thing to be able to have the actual stories up there now? And I love this idea, a new school in India with prioritize happiness instead of grades. Coming from somebody who did not focus in school because I am an entrepreneur. When I was growing up, I was not thinking about the ridiculous stuff they try to cram into your brain. What? You want me to learn? Really? What am I going to do with that? Oh, nothing. You just need to know it because that's what they tell you. You need to know. Ugh. Ugh. More schools like this in America, please. I'll send my kids there because I have kids that are entrepreneurs too. I look at two of my kids and my third is going to be the same way too. They just think differently. I'm hearing the stuff they're coming up with. I'm like, they're not gonna get behind that at school. They're gonna be like, oh, stop thinking that way, kid. Do you know how many times I used to hear stuff like that? No, you can't do it that way. You have to do it our way. No, wait a second. I got the answer. Yeah, but you didn't show your work. You didn't show how you got your answer. I don't care. Back in the day, we didn't have the internet. There were barely like calculators. We didn't have them in class with us. If you could do something in your head, why is that frowned upon? I don't know your mental way of coming up with that answer. Oh, you got to carry this and do that. No, in my head, I came to the answer. I got it right. And you give me 10 of them. I got all 10 right. You're telling me they're all wrong because I didn't do the math. I didn't do it the way you want me to do it. Now, I think things may have changed since then. But honestly, they tried to adjust my thinking. No, that's how I think. Let an entrepreneur think that way to get to their answer. If they're getting the answer correct, why don't you, instead of saying do it differently, say, hey, how did you come up with that? How did you get that answer? Because I would like to know how you got the answer. Because my philosophy is that the only way to get that answer is the way that I was taught, is in this book. You have to do this and carry the, and then you do the. No. Some of us are able to do the math in our heads. And I wasn't able to figure out how they did the carryover thing and this, that, and another. I just was able to do that. That it seemed like simple math for those couple of problems. I couldn't do any of, like, all of them, but those problems. And I just remember getting them wrong. Wait, hold on, Miss Teacher. The answer is this, 17. And I wrote 17, but yeah, but you didn't show your work. You have to show how you got 17. Well, obviously I don't have a computer. They don't exist yet, or they do, but we don't have them here in school. It's 1992. Nobody had them yet. I mean, we had them in a room. We had a Mac room. We'd go there and you had your time on the computer, but we didn't have them in class. We didn't have phones where we could dial up that information. So like I said, my theory is teach the student. Teach the student. Let the student guide you as to how they learn. You start trying to force people to learn differently. This is why we've had so many problems and why later in life people are saying, well, I was taught wrong. My mind doesn't work that way. This is why we're a lot more conscious now and we have a lot more care for people who think differently on the spectrum, whatever you want to call it. This is why I believe the Beat Seat's going to be a huge advantage going forward. 58 minutes officially, guys. I think we got to hit at least an hour, don't you think? I don't think I can quit for 2 more minutes at least. So we are sitting on day 338. I have to drop a podcast for you guys. I'm working on it right now. It is day 333, which was a really great episode from Friday. And I'm looking forward to dropping that. There was a lot of great music as well. So I'm trying to cut out some of the music, to be honest with you, because when I'm playing for you on Friday through Sunday, I get kind of into it. And some of those jams get going. Like they go. Now, watching me is okay, but when you're listening to it, like after a while, I'm just kind of like, okay, let's get back to the talk. So I think I have to be a little bit, I have to edit out the music, I think, or at least most of it. The one I am keeping in there is the improvisation. If you guys did not see the improvisation that came out, let's see, do we have it here? Uh-oh, 34 seconds. We just finished an hour on Instagram. That's right, because we do a minute. You guys, see, here's the other thing. If you're on Instagram, you should also follow me there, because a minute before I go live with you guys, the people on Instagram get a mini show. They get like a mini 1 minute show where I'm talking to them. I'm like, all right, guys, we're getting ready. We're going live to the world. You know, we get their 1 minute little conversation with Insta. I'm not going to save that because I have it here. And let's share that to the world. But so they get like a 1 minute little conversation, personal conversation with the people on Insta before I bring it live to you guys. But I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking out the Beat Seat today. How cool was that? Do you guys like the I Need to Be Alone song? That's probably one of my favorite tunes. And again, I wrote that at a really low moment when I was feeling down on myself. And it wasn't my fault. You know, we're going to do another 10 minutes right now, Phil. It wasn't my fault. You know, here's the thing I have to say about this in life. If you're not ready to be in a relationship, don't be in a relationship. If you're not ready to be honest with somebody, if you're not willing to give someone all of your heart, don't be in a relationship. Don't mess with people's emotions. Don't take people's, like, their feelings and their love and destroy it. There's a lot of people destroying love out there. And this person tried to do it to me. Of course, they didn't realize I'm a songwriter and I'm going to go and destroy you with the meanest song in the history of time. And then I'll print 1,000 albums and then keep like 600 of them on the shelf to never see the light of day because I'm embarrassed by the song. That's real. I'm embarrassed by that song. You know, and it's because I have children now and I can't believe I wrote a song that's that angry. But it was necessary for the world to hear that song. When you're going through that experience of having your heart stomped on, you need to listen to Gabrielle and then just listen with a grain of salt and be like, yeah, he was feeling this way when he wrote this. Because honestly, it is an angry song, but it's very funny too. Like the rap is really good. I got a rap in there, guys. I rap. Woo. Well, anybody who knows me actually knows, but when I first got into music, I was 18 years old. And before that, I actually listened to rap music. How about that? I listened to rap music. Like hardcore, not like hardcore. I liked like Notorious B.I.G., Tupac. I liked the Gravediggers. I liked the Loonies. Who else? Das FX. How about them? The Gravediggers were pretty cool, though, I gotta say. And, you know, that was my extent. I thought that was music. My cousin happened to be a hip-hop promoter, and he liked and listened to hip-hop, and he would send me the new artists that he was working with, and I loved it. There was a band that was there was this group from the city that was so good. And I remember I saw my cousin over one holiday, and I was like, hey, what happened to that? I gotta remember what the name of that band was. They were so good. They were from, like, Brooklyn. And they had this one track that was just, oh, it was fire. It was fire. And I remember telling them, I'm like, these guys are going to be huge because that song is so good. And I saw them like the next Thanksgiving or whatever. I was like, hey, Anthony, what happened to those guys? Like, what's going on with that band, with that group? And he's like, oh, yeah, two of them are in jail. Like, one of them shot someone, the other one stabbed. I'm like, what? How is this going on? I'm like, that. All they had to do was keep going. And not succumb to the negativity and to be that guy, you know? And those guys never did anything with their lives because they destroyed it. They destroyed their opportunity. So you gotta be careful, guys. You gotta be careful. Every move you make could make you or break you. 18 years, Phil. 18 years, I didn't even know what music was. It wasn't until senior year of high school, one of my friends, my best friend at the time, was like, you ever heard of Jethro Tull? And I was like, what the heck is that? And he was like, this is Jethro Tull. And I was like, ooh, that's pretty cool. And then here was the capper for me. You're going to get a kick out of this one. I'm going to get my laugh track ready for this one. When I was in high school, the Grateful Dead was still touring. They were alive. Well, Jerry Garcia was still alive. And my friend Brian was going to the concert. And I was somehow invited. I don't think Brian invited me, but there was just like, hey, do you want to go? Someone was like, hey, you want to go? And I was like, no. And I'll tell you why. Because I thought the Grateful Dead, when I heard the name, the Grateful Dead, Deadhead, the Deadheads, this is what I heard. The Grateful Dead. The Grateful Dead. The Deadheads. Can you believe it? That's what I thought it was. I thought the Grateful Dead was gin, gin, ticka, ticka, gin. Seriously. Because if you didn't know what the music was, the Deadheads, the Grateful Dead would sound like a punk band to me. It did, as somebody who liked hip-hop. The Grateful Dead I thought was like hardcore rock and roll. The Deadheads. Yeah, man. The Grateful Dead. Can you believe that? Oh, man. I don't think anybody's watching this, Phil. Well, that's just funny for me. And I think it's funny that I'm probably the only person who had that sort of correlation to the name, the Grateful Dead. Oh, man. This is what real talk is, Phil. We just let it all out. It's not about hiding and saying, ooh, I don't want to talk about X. No, we talk about it all. And then you know what? We feel better about it. You know, some people go to see a therapist in order to say how they're feeling, in order to kind of get to what they're really thinking and what they're feeling. This is my therapy right here. That's what I'm talking about, buddy. I just come here and let it all out. And you know what? If we all did that, you wouldn't need a therapist. Just come on, start your talk show. Just go out there and let it all out. Yeah, no one may pay attention, but that's fine. You will feel better. you will feel better. The moment you start expressing yourself, you're going to feel better. Minute and five, Phil. So anyway, I am probably going to call it a day. I don't know if we have anybody on right now on Facebook, but I appreciate you guys. If you are on, thank you. And if you had a chance to check out the Beat Seat, if you didn't, don't worry about it. Because tomorrow, that's right, every day, the Beat Seat, it's the new thing, guys. This show is variety. It's talk. It's real estate. It's music. It's celebrity impressions. We haven't done any of those yet today. Phil, what's going on? We do an hour and 5 hour and 6 minutes, but not one celebrity impression? It's crazy. Phil, it's unbelievable. You come on YouTube. Who knew the YouTube would be so popular that one day people would watch the Real Talk show on YouTube? I know. I was watching from home. You know he lives in Wilton? I think he lives in Wilton, Connecticut. I want to go knock on his door. Be like, Chris, Christopher, walk in. It's Mark Byers. How you doing, Christopher? And then he'd come to the door and be like, who's there? Hello? Is Christopher walking? Who's knocking on my door? Like, it's me, Christopher. Maybe that should be it. Phil, that's it. We have to do the two cameras, and then we can do the different characters. Okay, let's pretend for a second. Ready? So, Christopher Walken and Owen Wilson doing the scene from Wedding Crashers. Okay, here we go. I think it has to start with this guy. Secretary Cleary, John Ryan. John, good man. How you doing? Good. I wanted to talk to you about your paper on Micronesia. Oh, my paper. I'm glad you enjoyed my paper. I forget how it goes. John, you want to go smoke a stogie? A stogie? Yeah, sounds good. Let's smoke a stogie. My Owen Wilson's terrible. Owen Wilson's just a matter of just like pursing your lips and saying things. I'm far from home. I am far from home, Phil. Not really. I'm only 15 minutes away. So I will be on the way soon. What time is it? Yeah, I should get going. I'm going to get going here. And tomorrow I will be back for day 339 in a row. And like I said, if you guys have any real estate topics you'd like me to cover, just shoot them over. Whether you're a buyer, you're a seller, you're curious about financing, you're curious about inspection process, whatever, you know, just let me know. I'm happy to discuss it. There are a lot of questions that people do not have answers to and they're curious about. Don't do a Google search. You're not going to get the right thing. Just ask me. I'll tell you what the right answer is. And it's funny. It's just like everything else with Real Talk. I always say, I don't have the answers to everything until you ask the questions. And it's not that I'm sitting here saying I know everything, guys. I don't. I just free myself up and let the universe speak. And it seems like every time it's the right answer. And I'm going to keep doing that. It hasn't led me wrong yet my entire life. I'm going to keep doing it. So I'll see you guys tomorrow on the next Real Talk.